I'm a fun
you
guy.
You have fun when they finish below 500.
I'm just Captain Fun.
I guess.
Or a captain suit, the show from now on.
I don't like the half point.
Well, that's called the hook.
I don't like it.
What the hook?
How do you get rid of it? Can you get rid of the hook?
I'm going to have a coronary. I'm getting too old for this job, but you guys may have won.
Upset. If you look back at where the term came from, it was from a horse race. Upset.
When did you turn into Cliff Clavin?
I like this job. I've had it for a long time, Paul.
Last one.
This
point.
Isn't a chemistry lab.
You're on the verge of next year's Super Bowl.
I can't help what I think. Be honest, Paulie. You're not doing this for other people's entertainment. You are truly enjoying this.
This is Orange Nation. With Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sibilia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us alongside Paulie Sibilia. I'm Stephen Fonte as we welcome you into a Monday edition of Orange Nation. Going to talk a lot of football today, certainly Q's football, certainly week one of the NFL season. We'll talk football with you at 315-437-7644. Just two guests for you. Mike McAllister, publisher of AllSyracuse.com, will join us at 12:30. Jack Jokinen, host of George's Box podcast, will be on to talk a little bit of Yankees baseball at the end of the show. He's coming up at 1:30. But again, your phone calls throughout. Plenty of time to check in on this SU football team, Paulie, that is now 2-0 for just the Great. Second time under Dino Babers. The other time was 2018. That season went awfully well.
Should we do
and
a
this
parade?
This season's off to a great start. No parade yet. But plenty of reasons, I think, to be encouraged.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I'm encouraged, Steve. I'm just being contrarian right now. They beat UConn. All right? Let's all settle down. They beat Louisville. They beat UConn. Let's get to, you know, I've been very positive about this. But you got to be real about this. That was UConn. And they went out and they did something they haven't done, though. And they took care of business. They went Bachman-Turner overdrive on UConn, and they took care of business, and they did it handily. They gave up two big plays, and that was it. It was a good win.
So we talk about this.
I want more.
We talk about this leading up to like Selection Sunday when it comes to college basketball and the NCAA tournament, whether or not a team passes the eye test. And yes, you are right by saying it was quote unquote just UConn, but
UConn makes a lot of teams pass.
Okay,
the eye
but
test.
I'm saying so far, and I'm not just saying UConn, but you look at these two games. Let's look at these two games as you know, on a whole, okay, from
Very
what we've
good.
Seen. We've seen Garrett Schrader look a lot better. I mean, yeah. those two balls that he threw to DeMarcus Adams and to Damian Alford, I mean.
Oh, are you changing your tune on Mr. Schrader?
Alford in particular. I mean, that pass was dropped in. Listen, I said he's got to be better. And you know what?
He's proven to be better.
I didn't say he couldn't be better.
Sure
I said I was skeptical. And what I've seen so far is he's throwing the ball with accuracy. I mean, he's completing almost 80%
of
his passes.
Against Connecticut.
Okay.
That was very good. And he did it against Louisville.
And he did it against Louisville.
It's a very small sample size.
It is. So just let me finish here, though.
That's not right, the 10-win season yet.
Just let me finish.
No.
So you talk about Schrader needed to be better, and he has been better. We were wondering about this offense. We were wondering about, you know, Sean Tucker catching the ball out of the backfield. He's got 10 catches through two games. He's shown that he can be an effective pass catcher. He's continued to be very good. The offensive line, we know it's experienced. They've been very good. They've only given up a couple of sacks in both these games. And the penalties that were, you know, obviously too many in number in the first one with 18,
gone.
You know, they dial it back to three penalties here in game two. Defensively, they've been good. Was the defensive line going to be good enough? I mean, they held Malik Cunningham in check. I mean, he had scored a touchdown in 30 straight games. He didn't do it against Syracuse. They've only given up, and big plays have been an issue, and you know, they gave up two big plays against Louisville. There was the long touchdown run, the trick play. They gave up two big plays in this UConn game. Dino actually addressed that at his press conference about an hour ago, talking about the big plays. For the most part, you know, they've really done a nice job minimizing the big plays. Special teams has been
much better,
much sharper. And, you know, the fact you've had you have a dedicated special teams coordinator now, you've got your best players on special teams. They've won all three phases, both these games. So, yes, you could say it's just UConn, and yes, it's a small sample size, and yes, it's only two games, and all of that is accurate. But
enjoy it.
They have won both these games in convincing fashion, and I think it's how they've won these games that are reasons for people to be encouraged by this team that it looks like a better team than we saw a year ago. It looks like, you know, Adam Terry said he thinks this has the potential to be the best team that Dino has had here at Syracuse. And so far, Adam Terry looks to be spot on.
You know what? We don't have to wait long to find out. This team is going to play Purdue on Saturday, and we'll know. we'll know after Saturday whether or not this is a legit thing to get hyped about. I'm hyped, but is it something that we should bank on?
Here's the thing, and yes, Purdue will tell us a lot. But
they could lose this game.
They could lose this game, and if they lose this game, I don't think it goes. I don't think it goes back the other direction. You say, "Oh, here we go again," because Virginia does not look good right now. We know that they're going to beat Wagner. I think in all likelihood, this team's 4-1 at the very least.
Yeah. Well, we said this going into the season. You got to beat Louisville or Purdue, and they did it already.
Right.
It's not the end of the world if they lose to Purdue, but if it's going to be a special season, beating Purdue is going to be a big part of it.
And this is a great opportunity because all of a sudden, if you do beat Purdue, going back to your point about you either have to beat Louisville or Purdue, if you get them both, there's a really good chance you're 5-0 to start this season.
Yeah, and then we're not talking, I mean, because when we were making the predictions about they got to beat Louisville or Purdue, that was to get to 6 wins. If they beat Purdue, they're on their way to 5 before they even hit the meat of the schedule.
Right. And BC doesn't look good. You know, Pittsburgh lost to a good team at home in Tennessee.
Wishy-washy.
Well, I think NC State's really good. I mean, Notre Dame obviously off to an 0-2 start. Notre Dame's better than Syracuse. But, you know, you look around, and Dino brought up this point in his press conference today, and it's a valid point. He said he thought that they handled the week last week well in that a lot of teams that were favored to win at home, and, you know, Syracuse was obviously going on the road, but you look around college football, Texas A&M and Notre Dame both jump off the page at you. Examples of teams that were supposed to win at home, heavy favorites and lost. Wisconsin lost at home to Washington State. You know, Pittsburgh lost at home. Florida lost at home. Both of those were the top 25 opponents. But you saw a handful, half dozen teams in the top 25 lose at home over the weekend. Syracuse was going on the road. Yes, they were the favorite. But again, they went out and they acted like the favorite. There was no letdown. There was no playing down to your competition. Even though it was sandwiched in between two big games, Louisville and Purdue, they went out and they were focused, and it was a good, solid effort.
If they beat Purdue, Steve, you know, I laughed at Jordan when he was talking, hey, top 25 if they do it. With what happened this past week, it puts them right on the verge, as you would say, Steve.
It's possible.
It is possible.
You made me laugh with your Verge text over the weekend with your Steelers. We'll get to that as the show moves along.
You know, someone said, hey, it was just Marshall and Appalachian State also, as I was saying about UConn. UConn would get smushed by those teams.
Yeah, I mean, UConn's not good, and UConn's playing with a freshman quarterback, and they've lost their starting quarterback. They've lost two wide receivers to injury, and they're not good, obviously. But Syracuse still had to go out and win the game, and they handled their business. Bringing up the top 25, I don't think a win over Purdue is going to be enough to get them in the top 25, but a 5-0 start may be enough to get them in the top 25. They didn't get any votes in the AP poll, and I think they have 7 points in the coaches' poll. A win over Purdue is probably not going to have them jump from getting 0 votes to all of a sudden catapult them into the top 25. But their body of work through 5 games, let's see, they beat Virginia and beat Wagner on top of it. There's a chance that when they head into that meat of their schedule, maybe they're in
Purdue
that top 25.
Purdue has received one other receiving
vote. Yeah, so that's not going to be enough to
yes,
get him in.
Purdue and Syracuse could be battling for that second vote next week in the others receiving votes bowl.
Yeah,
coming up.
Hey, if they beat Purdue, you know,
it could be a fun season, bro.
Well, yeah, and then they start getting votes, and you might be talking about this team getting in the top 25. That's, you know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here because
I do.
That is, like, that's nice, and that comes with winning. But the goal this year has to be first and foremost get to a bowl game,
6 wins,
right? And they are a third of the way there. And, you know, they started 2-0, and now this game on Saturday offers them just a tremendous opportunity. Like,
yeah,
you said, I mean,
because then you're 4-0, even after the third week, because you're playing Wagner.
Because you're playing Wagner.
You only need 2 more wins to get to that elusive bowl game.
And
but
again,
then you set your goals higher every week, right, Steve?
Well, yeah, obviously, again,
I'm talking about
the fans. Well, yeah.
I'm going to allow it. You've got to set. If they're 4-0, you've got to set your eyes and dreams higher than 6 wins.
Well, yes, but I also think you temper your expectations as a fan, because
you're going to be disappointed now if they only get to 6.
I don't know about that. If they start 5-0 and they only get to 6, yes, you're probably going to be disappointed because that means they went, you know, 1-6 the rest of the
long
way.
2 months.
Yeah. But I think, again, the goal is, and you know what's coming. I mean, that stretch, even though, you know, you're not sold on NC State and Notre Dame's 0-2, they're still really good teams. I mean, right?
Yes.
I mean, Clemson has not looked overly impressive, but they're still Clemson.
Notre Dame is going to have better talent than Syracuse.
And NC State and Clemson.
I'm sick of the NC State talk. I want them to prove it to me. Every year I hear about how great NC State is. I'll wait on them. Pittsburgh, come on. You got to be able to contend with them. You're Syracuse. You got to be able to contend with them.
Yeah, I think the teams that are ranked, right? You know, I'll throw Wake Forest in that group. They're all better than Syracuse, obviously. BC, it looks like a winnable game. You know, BC, doesn't look like a good football team right now.
I know an idiot that picked them to beat Virginia Tech.
Is he sitting to my right?
He's talking right now.
Yeah, your picks, you didn't do so well. You didn't do so well. But,
I've been very realistic about the roller coaster ride as a fan. Get pumped up for this Purdue game because it could turn things in a very positive way. Get out, go to the game, let's have fun. If they lose, then I'll tell you to shut up. But let's enjoy this.
I think there are certainly winnable games in this first part of the schedule. There are winnable games on the back end. The middle is going to be really, really tough. But if you start 4-1 or 5-0, you have set yourself up for success here in 2022.
If you're 4-1 or 5-0, why can't NC State be winnable? Why can't Pittsburgh be winnable?
Of course, any game, you know, and again, that we saw that this weekend with teams losing at home, you know, Notre Dame and Texas A&M in particular to lesser opponents. Of course, those games are winnable. It's just that they're playing better teams. Syracuse is playing better teams in the middle part of the schedule.
Man, I'll tell you one more thing. The play calling on offense is outstanding.
All right, so that's where I was going next.
Outstanding.
What stood out to you? What has stood out to you from these two games? It doesn't have to necessarily be the UConn.
It just seems smoother this year. It just everything seems like it's working. They're calling the right plays. They don't need to call timeout. They did once in this game. They had to call timeout because they couldn't get a play in. But it's just going. It just looks. The operation looks better. And when things are rolling smoothly, it translates into better performance, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and Schrader, I think, has been a big part of that. The O-line has been good. Again, the defense is forcing turnovers. I mean, they're checking a lot of boxes. You know, I mean, they're +5 in the turnover battle. They haven't committed a turnover, and they've forced 5 in 2 games. I mean, that was one of the recipes in 2018. They forced a lot of turnovers.
You know, and the other thing is, with Garrett Schrader, I mean, he can't... I find it hard to believe he could play at this level for the whole season.
He's not going to complete 80% of his passes for the whole season. Yes.
Yeah, but holy cow, is he good. He's creeping ahead of Tucker in the Heisman talk after 2 weeks. So, man, has he been good and fun to watch.
He has been. He's been very good. He's been accurate. He's making good decisions. Again, I think some of that, maybe a lot of it, is Robert and I putting him in positions to be successful and in play calls to be successful. But it really is working right now. And I think it's across the board. It's the O-line. It's... You know, Tucker's doing his thing. Schrader's been good. You know, the wide receivers, we haven't really seen one guy step forward, but, you know, 10 different pass catchers against UConn, which was nice to see. And some of that was, it was a blowout, and I get that.
Who's going to be the number one guy? Maybe it's good not to have a number one guy because you don't know who to key on. You can't double one guy and then, you know, nobody knows who to guard on.
I think it does make them more difficult to defend in some ways. However, I also think it's really good to have a number one guy in that game's on the line. It's a 3rd and 7. You know, they need to convert to either ice the game away or keep the game-winning drive alive. It is helpful to have, you know, like a Davante Adams to throw the ball to or Stephon Diggs. Like, I'm going to find my go-to guy.
It's only 2 games, too, and I was talking about play calling. It also seems like Syracuse goes for big plays, but it's not the same as it was the past few years where it felt like they would just have a guy streak down the sideline and chuck it.
Yeah.
They're going for big chunk plays and they're designed better, right? Am I wrong on that?
No, I understand what you're saying. Yes. Last year kind of felt like, and even the ones they completed, you know, go back to Virginia, there was the one against Clemson where it felt like it was close your eyes and just, you know, throw the ball as far as you can. I think Schrader's throwing a better ball this year. I do. So I think some of it is design. And, you know, Dino talked today about when those plays were called, that it was called at exactly the right time to take advantage of that. But let's be honest, like, you can call the right play and the wide receiver can make the right, you know, make a nice run with his route. You got to be able to deliver the ball. And Schrader has been a lot better this year in delivering the football. I mean, again, I'll go back to the Damian Alford pass and catch. I mean, he dropped that in right over the defensive back. I mean, it was perfectly placed. Yeah. You know, that was a good ball that he threw. That wasn't just he was open and he chucked it and they connected. I mean, that was a well-thrown football.
The other good thing, it appears, we'll hear from Coach Babers on this, but it appears they got out of UConn healthy, right?
That was
another,
like it. Yeah.
That was another big thing. Like, this team can't afford an injury anymore.
Right.
You know,
you got two key players out in Elmore and Thompson, and yes, it seems like they got out of this one healthy.
Yes. So everything is coming up orange right now. And I'm buying in.
All right, let's open it up.
If I had to buy a lottery ticket today, I would.
Today's the day to do it.
Yes.
All right, let's open it up to the phone lines. If you want to check in, now would be a good time to do so. 315-437-7644. What stood out to you from SU's win over the weekend? What stood out to you through these two victories we've seen against Louisville and UConn? We're just getting started here on Orange Nation. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
This is Orange Nation.
I'm off to a bad start, Steve. I'm off to a bad start.
Well, say, these aren't the monkeys.
Welcome back to Orange Nation. I was so distracted by what's your favorite cut of chicken during the break that I couldn't.
Such an important topic to discuss.
Here we come.
The artist of the week.
Yeah, this is more like it.
The artist of the day is The Monkees. It's their TV show debut today. This one hit number 8 for The Monkees in 69, Steve. Do you know The Monkees?
I do know The Monkees, yeah.
I had to scrounge up 7 of their songs. Man, if you guys aren't on Q Sports Talk, you missed the great conversations we have during the breaks, and we were talking about what your favorite cut of chicken is, and I'm a big thigh guy. I like a good chicken thigh.
So it was such an enthralling conversation that you forgot about the artist.
Yes,
of the
and
day.
Everybody talking about nuggets and everything, and the road trip. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm disappointed I missed out on our first road trip.
Oh, Steve, but I was terrified driving the whole way. It's the first time. Like, I drive everywhere. I was terrified because I rented a large vehicle, and I realized how much that vehicle was worth, and I was terrified driving it. It was a Jeep Wagoneer, a brand new one, like fresh off the lot, and I was terrified. Can you imagine if I crashed that and I had to hand in that receipt to my boss?
Right.
Yeah, hi. I overdid it on the rental, and I crashed it. Here's a $100,000 bill for you.
Did you think about taking the insurance?
No, because they tell me not to.
Right. I'm saying, but this particular vehicle.
No.
Did the thought cross your mind?
No, my credit card would cover it, I guess. I think that's what they. Is it that the.
Right.
No, my credit card will cover it. I don't think my credit limit's up that high.
Right.
But oh, well. It was terrifying.
All right.
But it was nice.
It was nice.
It was good
that.
To see how the Infantes.
Oh,
lived.
Stop. Stop.
Driving a car like that.
I'm glad you drove in luxury, though, and missed out on the road trip. Looking forward to the next one. Let's go to the phone line. Steve in North Syracuse kicking us off on the show today. Hey, Steve, how are you today?
I'm feeling pretty good. My Mets are winning. The SU's winning. I'm not a Bills fan, but I know a lot of Bills fans, and they're winning. So there's a lot of happiness in the area right now. I would not put Connecticut entirely in the rearview mirror yet. I know we're going to find out a lot about SU in these next two games, but Connecticut's next two games are at Michigan and at North Carolina State, so you might want to check in on those scores to see how we compare to those teams if we're thinking of when do we break into the rankings? Because that'll tell us a lot about how good we were or were not against Connecticut. My gut feeling is that Connecticut is better than the 1-11 team that they've been in recent years, and that SU's win over them maybe was a little more impressive than people realize. But we'll find out when we see how Connecticut does against those teams there. I also was very impressed with Syracuse's wide receivers. I thought last year they did very little to help out Schrader in terms of running their routes, making the catches, coming back to help out when the quarterback's scrambling. And obviously there were some drops in the first game, but this game I thought the receiving corps did a great job of not only running their routes and getting open, but positioning themselves for the catch and screening out the defender. And there were plays, one play by Jackson especially, where they highlighted him, and he came back to catch a pass when Schrader was scrambling. So I think there's been a lot of evolution in the receiving core, and that's helping Schrader out. A lot of people are complaining about Sean Tucker hasn't broken the big one. He had that one play against Louisville on a pass play, but where are all the dramatic runs he normally makes? I think not only are teams keying on him, and that's opening things up for Schrader, but I think that's where Elmore is really missed, because there could have been a lot of big runs that could have been had if he was out up front blocking for Tucker, but without him there, it's a harder slog for Tucker to get the big numbers.
Yeah, a lot of really good stuff there, Steve. 3 points I want to touch on. You bring up Tucker. We talked about this, Pauly, before the season started, and I said, you know, his numbers might not be at or past what they were last year, but they might end up being a better offense because of the threat to run, and it opens up the passing game. And so there's so much attention on Tucker that may be in part why Schrader and the passing game has been improved, is that, you know, obviously his receivers are getting open, the O-line's giving him time to throw, and his throws have been better. But with everybody keying on Tucker, that is going to open up the passing game to some degree.
I'll say this too. I'm not worried about him breaking a big run. He's still got his 100 yards. He averaged 4 yards a carry. That's what this offense needs. Keep the defense
balance
off the field.
Balance, yes.
Keep the defense off. That's like, I'll compare it to being a Steeler. Like, it's ground and pound. And he's great at it, you know? He only had, his longest run was 13, but he averaged 4, got 113 yards, control the ball, make the pass situations easier for your quarterback, did his job. I'm fine with it. I don't need a 70-yard run. I'm happy. I'm 100% happy with how it went.
Right. And I'm not disappointed with his performance to this point at all. I think to your point, he's given this team.
I hope he was pleased with his.
I'm sure he was. Went over 100 yards again. He's closing in on Ernie Davis, by the way, on the school's all-time rushing list. Steve brought up Courtney Jackson, the receivers helping him out. And as he was making that point about the receivers are helping him out, I was thinking to that Courtney Jackson play before he even brought it up. You know, Schrader, you know, underthrew a ball to Courtney Jackson, who came back, made a diving catch early on in the game. They obviously went down and scored. They scored on the first 7 possessions. But he's right. The receivers, they had a few drops in that first game, but it looks like a better group as a whole. And then his point about the opponents and who they're playing, you know, let's mention here, Louisville went on the road on a short week and went down and beat Central Florida in Orlando. So again, I don't think this is, well, Louisville's not a good team, UConn's not a good team. I think Steve may be right. I think that, you know, UConn's probably better than the one win team from a year ago, but they're still not a good program. I think Louisville's a decent team, and I think by the end of the year, I think Louisville's going to be, you know, 6-6, 7-5. They're probably going to a bowl game. That's probably a bowl team that they beat in the first game.
They beat a non-Power 5 school by 6.
On the road, and that's I'm not sure that that's fair. I mean, Central Florida is better than the typical non-Power 5 program. I mean, that's like saying
they're not better than the teams you're going to run into in the ACC.
No, I didn't say that. I said that Louisville beat a bowl team, and I think Louisville is a bowl team, right? I mean, they were underdogs. I mean, they went on the road as about a touchdown underdog, and they won a game. I'm just saying, I don't think Louisville is...
We'll find out.
I don't think Louisville is a bottom half of the ACC type of team. I think they're probably middle of the road ACC team.
I'm a wait and see on that one. I'm a wait and see on how good NC State is also.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Yeah, you keep mentioning that. But that was a good call by Steve. Brought up several good points. Let's take another time out here. When we return, we'll bring on Mike McAllister from AllSyracuse.com, Syracuse on SI. We'll get his thoughts on this 2-0 start for the Orange. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Welcome back to Orange Nation. Time to wrap it up on Monkeys Day. I'm a believer. Hit number one for the Monkeys. Do you know the Monkeys are actually humans? I just learned that today. 1967, this one hit number one. I was shocked to find that out. I spent my whole life thinking a group of monkeys was singing, made it way more impressive. Wait, a monkey had a number one song? Yeah, very disappointing it wasn't actually Monkeys. The things you learn in this world.
Were you familiar with the Monkeys before today, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard of them.
Right. Did you know that song right there was not from Shrek and done by Smash Mouth?
I did a couple of days ago.
Oh, that's right. I did tell you a couple of days ago. I ruined it. Tomorrow, Eddie Money Day, as he passed away on the 13th of September. So we will remember the great Eddie Money tomorrow.
All right, Jordan.
You know what?
Yeah.
Hold on before he kicks himself out. You know what that song was called, Steve? I'm a Believer.
Yeah.
And you know what I am right now?
Steelers?
I'm a Believer.
Steeler Believer?
That was the craziest regular season game I think I can remember. It was insane, the things that happened in that game. I was having panic attacks. And I was enjoying. In the first half, I was happy. I'm like, whoa, the Steelers are back. Then I was panic attacking, and then they somehow won.
I'm glad you're happy. But with the Texans-Colts game, I was really hoping we had two 2020 ties in week one of 2022. We didn't get that, though. We had one tie, and then your Steelers won. The scores would have both been 20-20 if that had.
But what does that
up.
Have to do with 2022?
Because it's two 2020 ties in 2022.
The Riddler has spoken, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I wish I'll keep speaking.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I'll write it down.
It would have been better if that had happened 2 years ago.
I'll write it down
in
for
week
you on a
two.
Piece of paper.
Yeah, if they had tied
two ties in week two of 2020, both with a score of 2020. Yes. It would have been better 2 years ago.
If they had tied it
2022. But it still would have been interesting.
2020. Two 2020.
I get what he's saying.
It doesn't matter.
I get what he's saying.
It doesn't matter. Here's what matters. One, Kevin Holland got his ass handed to him at UFC.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that, by the way.
He got choked out in the first round.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Life comes at you fast, Kev. Speaking of life comes at you fast, the weekend picks are in. Paulie, 1-4. The only game you got right was the Ravens destroying the Jets.
The BC game got me.
Yep. Steve, 3-2. Northwestern didn't do it for you. And then Carolina couldn't quite win that game. But you're still 3-2.
I couldn't have been the only one wrong with Atlanta also, right?
No. And they almost won that game, too.
Yeah, I know. I thought they were going to get smoked.
So that's out of the way. I did want to see what caught your guys' eye. I mean, we know what Paulie was watching. What caught your eye this NFL weekend, Steve?
We didn't have a chance to talk about the Bills game because I wasn't here on Friday. But what?
Play the Homer sounder.
No, I mean, obviously that stood out. I said to Paulie, and I'll say the same thing to you, and I know that I'm a Bills fan, but biases aside, and I know you guys don't want to admit this, but biases aside, if you watched, you know, everything that we watched from week one, who was the most impressive team?
The Bills.
It was. Okay. So at least you could say it, but Paulie can't say
you
it.
You have no excuse not to win the Super Bowl now.
Hey, by the way, the week one most impressive award goes to the Buffalo Bills. Congratulations. Hold the trophy high. Throw a parade downtown Buffalo.
I'm not saying there's a trophy. I'm not saying there's a parade. You said what stood out to me. What stood out to me is that the team I happen to root for, but again, biases aside, I thought the Bills truly, they're the Super Bowl favorites for a reason. They look like the best team in the NFL based on what we saw. I know we'll get into our power rankings. We can discuss that certainly as the week moves along. But first and foremost, I thought the Bills looked the part. I was impressed by the Chiefs yesterday. I mean, I wasn't really sure what to make of that first game. You know, Chiefs, Cardinals, it was a road game. I mean, they came out and they smacked the Cards.
Mahomes undefeated in season openers still.
There you go. So the Chiefs look really, really good.
Chargers look...
The NFC...
Chargers look pretty good. Raiders almost came back.
Can I drop something on you guys really quick about the NFL, too? I made a horrible mistake. Everybody talks about how great it is cutting the cord. It sucks.
Talk to me after. I got you. It sucks.
Trying to find NFL games when you cut the cord is terrible.
I got you, buddy. I got you.
The last thing I was going to say about what stood out to me is you look at the NFC and teams that we thought were going to be good are supposed to be good. Packers didn't look good. Cowboys really didn't look good. And they lose Dak Prescott. Rams, I think they'll be okay. They just happen to play the best team in the NFL. The Niners, again, we expect them to be pretty good. They didn't look good. I think the NFC is wide open, to be honest with you. I think you're going to see some surprising playoff teams on that side. You know, the Bucs, we expect them to be good. They obviously looked good. But I think the NFC is going to have some really interesting playoff teams, I think.
That could be out almost 2 months. They're not making the playoffs unless they trade for a QB.
Shocking news out of the NFL. They just canceled the season. Bills were so impressive in week one that they don't need to play the rest of the year.
I knew I couldn't even bring them up without you doing this. That's why I said, biases aside.
Most impressive week one victory ever in the history of the NFL, apparently.
I'm just glad we don't have to talk about the Patriots because, oh boy, is this going to be a long season.
As you know, I root for two teams, the Bills and whoever's playing the Patriots, and I was 2-0 this week.
Bad back Jones, more like it.
Quick, I didn't even want to touch
on that. Bad week for NFL quarterbacks also.
Quick lineup Kickers. Announcements before I kick myself out. We got John Schmelk, Giants.com, 12:15 every Tuesday.
Nice.
I mentioned this earlier on QSportsTalk.com, but Caleb Okechukwu, Syracuse defensive lineman, they've got something starting up, little podcast with the Mob. That's what they call the defense now. He's set to join us 12:30 Wednesday. Of course, we got Dan coming in 12:30 Wednesday, John Ryan Friday. So we'll keep adding as we find out.
All right. And with that, we are out of time. So you got to get out of here. We got to get out of here as well, but you got to get out of here first.
If you need help removing pesky pests from your home or workplace, visit bugsbegone.biz. That is, of course, bugsbegone with two E's, just like the bug, just like the number of wins Syracuse football has, and just like I do to Steve and Pauly every day on Orange Nation. Bugsbegone.biz, everybody.
Just a quick update, too. Impressive week one wins. Just wanted to drop this out there. Steve Infante beat Jordan in our football league, and
by a point,
I was down six with the Cowboys D and Brady.
If you were in our Q Sports Talk league, you may have noticed that I absolutely smashed a listener.
Did I win?
I don't care.
I don't either.
My week one victory was up there with the likes of the great Buffalo Bills.
Get that segment ready, Paulie. Oh boy. I'm not sure you can handle a segment on Orange Nation as a prize.
I kind of, no, and that's the prize in our Q Sports Talk League. Whoever wins gets a segment. And I can't wait to let a listener just flounder for 15 minutes. Because we're not going to say a word. It's going to be their segment. And I'm just going to let them die a slow death because they're all so good at this. They could all do this. And I can't wait for one of these loudmouth Q Sports Talk people to win and come on and just suck at this job.
Just like Kevin Holland.
If they don't suck, I'll hire them.
Wait, what? This is a job interview now?
Sure, could be. You never know. If they're good enough, I'll get
a job. Now Jordan's getting nervous.
I'm going to get Wally pipped by a listener.
Jordan, you're not expendable. I promise you. All right, we got to run. For Jordan, for Paulie, I'm Steve. Enjoy the rest of the day, everybody. We'll be back at it noon tomorrow.